family and friends, the reminders of the broadness of the relationships that you have established among your people, whether it be within families or the tenderness of friendships, you have provided for us a gathering by which we are able to come into your presence and to meet with the living God. It is of great wonder, and we have but a beginning sense of the honor and the majesty that belongs unto you. Turning to the Old Testament, book of Numbers, the fourth book of Moses, Numbers chapter 6, reading verses 22 through 27. Broader context, Numbers is the record of peoples wandering through the wilderness. It gains its name because of the numbering of the peoples in the first and the 26th chapters. The opening chapters not only outline the tribes of Israel, but set before Israel certain of the duties of the priests, some of the functions of the priesthood, sons of Aaron. The fifth chapter, ceremonial uncleanness of the person, is dealt with. In the opening of the sixth chapter, the law of the Nazarite, so we have a number of preliminary subjects that are set before us. And then comes this remarkable set of paragraph in verses 23 to 27, the Lord's blessing. The word of God is read from Numbers chapter 6, beginning with verse 22. And then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Here's perhaps the best known passage in the book of Numbers, the blessing that was transmitted to Aaron, the Aaronic benediction. It's one of the oldest poems of the Bible. It's one of the most beautifully and well-constructed poems. It has three stanzas. Each succeeding line is longer than the previous line. It develops, it grows, it expands as it progresses. And each succeeding line is richer, is fuller than the previous line. There is a sense of building, of multiplying, of overwhelming. In the Hebrew, the first line, verse 24, has but three words, and it composes 12 syllables. Three words, 12 syllables. In the next verse, verse 25, the second line, we have five words and 14 syllables. In the third line, verse 26, we have seven words and 16 syllables. I'm pointing out how very carefully and thoughtfully this poem is constructed as it develops. The name Lord occurs three times. The total of the other words, total number of other words, is 12. Could it be that there is an intentional reference to the whole of Israel, to the 12 tribes of Israel, with these 12 additional words added to the word Lord? God says in verse 23, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. The Lord speaks to the children of Israel and gives them 12 words of blessing. This is more than poetry. This passage is rich with meaning for our lives. It is about blessing. Blessing is the good that is done to us and leads to peace in our hearts and life. Every person needs blessing and peace. And this passage leads us to think about three themes of the Lord's blessing. The first theme is the source of blessing. The second is the substance of blessing. And the third is the security of blessing. The source of blessing. Where does blessing come? The answer is simple, it's clear, it is obvious. Blessing comes from the Lord. And notice grammatically, the word Lord only needs to be said once. It does not need to be repeated in each line, but it is repeated in each line. And since there is no need for repetition to understand the statements, here we have emphasis upon the Lord is doing these things. It is He who is directing these things. The Lord bless you. The Lord make His face shine upon you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you. This repetition shows the source of blessing. Blessing comes from the Lord. It's a threefold mention of the Lord. Is this not a foreshadowing of the unveiling of the Trinity? God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. Blessing comes from the Lord. This is confirmed by the last phrase in verse 27. I will bless them. In the original, the pronoun I is emphatic. It is the sense of I myself will bless them. I and no one else will bless them. The Lord is the source of blessing. It's clear from this passage that blessing is God's idea. It didn't come from Moses. Moses didn't come to God and ask Him to bless the people. In verse 23 we read, and the Lord spoke to Moses. This blessing is God's initiative. It's His determination. It is His devotion. He is kind, He is generous, He is overflowing with love for His people. He wishes to bless them. He is determined to bless them. We do not call down blessings from heaven. Blessings come down from God. Verse 37, God says, so I will put my name on the children of Israel. It's like a rancher when he marks his cattle or a student when he writes his name on his paper. The identity is there. God puts something on His people to mark them. He puts His name on them. To put your name on something shows your ownership, your possession. God says, these are My people. I have decided that I will bless them. Blessing comes from the Lord. Think of the contrast. People persist in looking for the good life in all the wrong places. People think that possessions will make them happy. The more things they gather, the more pleasure they will have. People think that happiness comes from having a large bank account. People think that happiness comes from good physical health. People think that relationships will make them happy. There are many idols in our time. These idols are fragile, they are unsatisfying. What is the source of your blessing? Jesus stated, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, Matthew 6:21. We can reverse the order, where your heart is, there is your treasure. What really makes you happy? That tells you your treasure. True blessing comes from the Lord alone. If He doesn't bless us, we won't be blessed at all. In all things, we are looking to the Lord for blessing. We are to thank the Lord for His blessing. We are to praise Him and love Him because He is such a God who comes in sovereign mercy and says, I want to bless my people. We don't have to beg. Unlike the heathen, we don't have to manipulate our God for blessing. We don't have to bribe God or impress Him with our sacrifices. God comes in love and mercy, and He is determined to bless His people. The Lord is the source of blessing. The substance of blessing. Blessing is a common word, and it is rather vague. What does it mean to bless? Now, this passage is not a complete description, but it is a very specific description of the blessing that God intends. This passage identifies three elements of God's blessing. They are provision, protection, and presence. First is provision. From the opening words of verse 24, the Lord bless you. In the Old Testament, the word blessing is practical and earthy and materialistic word. It is not a super spiritual word. The people in the Old Testament saw blessing in things like food and shelter and family and friends, their work, their harvest, the things that they had. Psalm 144, verses 13 through 15, speak about the blessings of cattle and the harvest. The psalmist says, blessed are the people to whom such blessings fall. Blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. Psalm 144, 15. Blessing in the Old Testament means primarily the things that we need to exist in the world. This is very encouraging. We don't need always to be super spiritual in our praying. We can pray for ordinary things and see them as the blessings of God. Blessing is God providing for the earthly needs of his people. Sometimes previous generations had a clearer grasp than we do. If you read some of the prayers of our forefathers, they are remarkably practical. We need these things. We are taught to pray, give us this day our daily bread, Matthew 6:11. We are encouraged by our master to do so. God's provision is his blessing, and we need to acknowledge this. One very simple way we do this is when we give thanks for food. That's not just a little ritual. It is profound. We are bowing our head over a plate of food and acknowledging that the food is God's blessing. It is God's provision for my body. There are parts of the earth where we cannot take a plate of food for granted. God does bless all of us. He blesses us abundantly. God's blessing is his provision. Second element in this declaration is protection. The next words in verse 24. God bless you and keep you. Protection. Israel was about to set out on a very dangerous journey. They were about to go through one of the most inhospitable wildernesses on earth, a place of hunger and thirst. It was known for wild animals. After they got through the wilderness, they were going to have to fight for the promised land against powerful heathen nations. This was an intimidating and treacherous time of their lives. It was exciting and it was scary. It was very relevant that God promises to keep them. He would protect them in the wilderness and in the warfare. We need similar protection. Our society, our culture is rapidly becoming an ugly wilderness, far more inhospitable than the Sinai desert. In a wilderness, people get lost. They starve. They die from hunger and thirst. We are traveling with our families through a wilderness. It's a barren and dangerous place. The Canaanites we face are many and they are strong. They are stronger than the Israelites face. Their fortified cities and their culture are impressive and mighty. God says, I will not only provide for you, I will protect you. I will bless and keep you in your wilderness and in your warfare. The striking aspect of the word is that it is singular, you individually. He is speaking to the whole people, but as he speaks to the whole people, he is blessing each individual. I will keep you, singular, each one of you. God blesses with protection and provision. There is a third blessing, and it is far greater than the first two. The third is presence. In verse 25, the Lord make his face shine upon you. Think about someone whose face is shining. Was it a little child at a birthday party? Was it a mother who sees her son or her daughter return home? Is it a lover looking at his or her beloved? This is like the way the Lord looks at us. As we come close to him, his face beams with joy. As he looks at us, he is delighted to see us. He is overjoyed that we have come to him. His face shines with gladness as we approach. Add to that the second phrase in verse 26, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. This is royal, courtly language. It's the language that is used of a king. When a king favors someone, he shows them his face, he lifts up his head. When he hides his face, that's bad news. Your head is about to be lifted from your shoulders. Remember how Joseph said to his brothers, Genesis 43, verse 5, you shall not see my face unless your brother is with you. He meant, if you don't bring your brother Benjamin to Egypt, I won't accept you. You will not see my face. God is saying, I'm going to lift my face toward you. I'm going to favor you. I'm going to receive you. I'm going to delight in you. Isn't that astounding? Why would God delight in us? It's surprising that when we meet God, that he would be favorable to us. God's blessing means that God is being with us, being close to God. It means that he is joyous when we are with him. He is looking at us with pleasure. He smiles with delight and in love. And this is the greatest of all blessings. Do you know this blessing? Do you know the shining of the Lord's face? Will you seek him more and more? Be provided for and protected is necessary, and they are great blessings, but to live in God's presence and to feel his love is the ultimate blessing. What happens when people see God's shining face? Moses is an illustration for us. After he was in God's presence, Moses' face shone. We read in Exodus 34:29, So it was so when Moses came down from Mount Sinai that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. His face shone because he had been in God's presence. We live in a world of sad faces and silly faces. We are to be people whose faces shine because we have been in the presence of God, talking with God. It should be something of a reflection of God's face upon our countenance. The substance of blessing is the provision, protection, and presence of God. Third, we look at the security of blessing. We must ask ourselves, how is this possible? We are so unworthy. We are so sinful. We are so unclean. We deserve God's cursing instead of his blessing. How is it possible for the Lord to bless us? How is it possible for his face to shine upon us? How can God be delighted with us? How can a holy God bless a sinful people? Numbers chapter 3, verses 5 through 13 records how carefully the tabernacle was to be guarded by the Levites. You would be put to death if you came near the tabernacle, Numbers 3, verse 10. How then can we not only come to the tabernacle, but also right into the Holy of Holies and see God's face shining? There is a hint and a direction in the phrase in verse 25 in chapter 6. The Lord be gracious to you. It is possible because he is a gracious God. He is the God who shows mercy to sinners. The word gracious is the same word that is used in Exodus 34:6. Just after the people sinned, God revealed himself in mercy to Moses and said, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. That's how it is possible. We experience blessing because of who God is. He is gracious. How? How can he be gracious? For the answer, we look toward Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus had this blessing in the full. It was He, it was all of His, and then it was taken away from Him. His Father blessed Him and kept Him. His Father's face shone upon Him. At His baptism at the Jordan River, a voice from heaven said, "You are My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." On the Mount of Transfiguration, when His glory was revealed to His closest friends, the disciples heard the Father say to Jesus, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him." On the mountain, Jesus was physically illuminated with reflected glory of God's favor. He knew God's face turned toward him in blessing. But then, the next week, came Jesus' passion. When obedience to His Father took Jesus into darkness for us, God no longer blessed Him. God no longer kept Him. He handed Him over to His enemies. He was stripped. He was beaten. He was tortured to death. No longer did the Father's face shine upon Him. Jesus cried out in agony, my God, why have You forsaken Me?" Ian Duguid comments, "As Jesus lifted His head, lifted His eyes toward heaven, for the first time in all eternity there was no answering light from the Father's face. Even the Son turned away its countenance from Jesus, as if the universe itself could no longer bear to look upon Him. At that moment, for Jesus, there was no peace. He was bruised for our iniquity. He was broken for our sin. He was abandoned for our faithlessness. He was cursed for our blessing." The result is that by faith in Him, Paul can write in Ephesians 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ." The blessing in Christ is restored. The Lord blesses us and keeps us. He makes His face shine upon us because we belong to Christ. Do you know this blessing? What is the result of blessing? Peace. It means more than the modern word and the modern greeting of shalom. Peace means more than the absence of war. It means inner harmony and wholesomeness and completeness. Peace is a sum total of all of God's good gifts to His people. Do you sometimes forget that you are a blessed person? Do you act as if you are not a blessed person? Why are we worried about things? Are you unsure that God will provide for you? Are you unconvinced that the Lord will keep you? Why do you feel so guilty? Why do you struggle spiritually? Are you living in His presence? Why are we so stressed? Why are we missing the gift of His peace? God says in Numbers 6, verse 23, "This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel." That blessing is meant to be repeated over and over. People need to hear this often. We need to hear the benediction. We need to hear the blessing. This particular blessing was introduced at the time of the Reformation into the Protestant worship. This is why worship ends with the benediction. Benediction is not a prayer. It is a pronouncement. It is not the minister asking God to bless you. It is the minister as God's servant in His name telling you that God blesses you. The minister calls down from heaven the blessings of God. Our directory of worship reads, "The benediction is a pronouncement, not a prayer, of adjournment, and should never become a mere formality for dismissing the congregation. The bestowing of the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is a high and holy privilege. The congregation should wait quietly and reverently to receive the benediction." The late professor, Adam Lockridge, told about an old lady he knew. She didn't like some of the new ministers and their ways. Her minister pronounced the benediction with only one hand raised. She told Reverend Lockridge, "I hate the one-handed benediction." She felt she was being cheated in some way. The benediction calls down the blessing of God upon his people. If you got nothing else out of the worship service but the benediction, you would get an awful lot. On the days when the sermon is hard to follow, comfort yourselves, at least I will get the benediction. We hear Jesus say, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." John 14:27. "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. The Lord give you peace." One final observation we want to make. It should bring us to our knees and fill our eyes with tears. Remember who was to pronounce the benediction. Aaron. And what is known about Aaron? Who was Aaron? Aaron was the man who a few weeks earlier had made the golden calf. He had rebelled against his God. He had listened to the people. He had sinned wretchedly and miserably. To this man, God gave the privilege of pronouncing the benediction. He is forgiven. He is made a priest. He is the mediator of God's blessing. In himself, he is a summary of God's grace. In the New Testament, an example of the benediction is 2 Corinthians 13:14. "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen." This was written by the Apostle Paul, who describes himself in 1 Corinthians 15:9 as the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. Before his conversion, Paul persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it, Galatians 1:13. However, he became a minister according to the gift of grace of God that was given him by the effectual working of God's power. Like Aaron, Paul is a summary of the grace of God. Make no mistake. This is the kind of man that is now in the pulpit. You are looking at someone like Aaron or Paul. Don't idolize ministers. Ministers are struggling sinners, the same as everyone else. Dr. Alexander White of St. George's in Edinburgh, a wonderful preacher, was recognized as one of the godliest men in his time in Scotland. Once he said, "If my people knew what I was really like, they would spit in my face." He was speaking about his secret sins. We are all like that. It is the forgiven sinner who pronounces the benediction. In a sense, we are all Aaron and Paul. We all need to bring blessing to a cursed world. We are to tell people around us how they can know God's provision and protection and presence. We are to speak of God's grace and mercy and peace. Each of us must say with John Newton, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." That's the Lord's blessing. Gracious God, as we meditate upon your word, fascinated by its structure, marveling at the richness, the compactness, the specific ways in which you have come to your people, the very beginning of a most troubled time in their lives, when they would endure some of the afflictions of their own foolishness by wandering in the wilderness, yet you were determined to let them know that you would bless them. And you used Aaron. You gave the blessing to him directly. And he was to pronounce on the people your determination. And so we praise you that as the people of God are gathered together, we have a sense that your face is turned toward us with satisfaction, with kindness, with joy. For you have drawn us to yourself by the righteousness of your Son, and are now able to receive us with intense joy and thanksgiving. And while we endure the afflictions of life and the difficulties, may we know for a surety that your intention in all things is to bless us as your people. And so may we trust and rely upon you, a God who is great in mercy and in kindness, long-suffering, in tenderness and compassion, a God who blesses his people. We thank you in Jesus' name.